I don't know if I owe you guys an apology or whether or not I just want to do a better job of something I haven't done a great job of, and that is talking about Celebrate Recovery. We have some volunteers in our congregation who have put a great deal of time into this project already. It is a collaboration of at least four different churches. I'm pretty excited about it. It's a ministry that has had a great deal of success in helping people. They may say break the chains. I would say, theologically, put the chains down. And that's really what Celebrate Recovery is about. And one of the reasons that I wanted to actually devote a Sunday to it is because I think there's a stigma around this program that says it's basically Christian AA, that it's just for people who are addicted, and it's an outreach program, and we go out to people who are all messed up, and we try and help them. And there may be an element of that, but if you, in the strictest sense, the power of breaking chains is always with Jesus. It always starts with a relationship with Jesus. And so technically speaking, the power of Celebrate Recovery is limited by a personal relationship with Jesus. In other words, it only truly and fully works if you're a Christian already. So I want to make sure this is really clear with all of us, because it may be that this program is actually for some in our church, not just people out there. So let me expound on this. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you believe, and this is a personal question, I ask each of yourself in your mind, do you believe that God is worthy of all that you are and that his mission should be your mission? I'm just going to hope, you don't have to nod or anything, but if you are indeed a Christian and you believe you're a servant of the Lord, you would be saying yes to this. Question number two, are you giving all that you are to God and his mission? Are you sold out in every aspect of your life for the Lord? Well, I won't make you answer that. I'll speak for myself. No, I'm not. There are still conditions and quid pro quos that I put on my service of the Lord. And so question three would be, what are you holding back? Or, if you prefer, what is holding you back? If you know that the Lord deserves it, and you know that that's what you're made for, but you know you're not doing it, why? That's what I want us to think about today. Because Celebrate Recovery is really for everyone and anyone who is able to admit that there is either a hurt, and I qualify that with past pain, maybe abuse in your past, maybe a grudge that you're holding, you know, family strife, a previous marriage that just broke you, unforgiveness towards somebody. So that's a hurt or a habit, and that's where the addiction or even the invasive hobby, which, by the way, can very easily cross over into addiction. Some of the things that we do that we are so caught up in that, of course we love Jesus. We just don't really have any time. We would give him all the time we have left over if we had any because of our hobby. That would be a habit or an addiction or a hang-up. And that would include fear, prejudice, a lie you tell yourself. Whatever it is that keeps you, that keeps us from living the life that God wants us to. That's who Celebrate Recovery is for. So I wanted to go through the 12 steps. This is a 12-step program. In that sense, it is similar to AA. And actually, some of the principles line up fairly closely, because I don't know if everybody knows this, but AA actually used to be a Christian program. It's kind of been hijacked by the world, and they took all the power out of it. And that's actually one of the reasons that Celebrate Recovery was developed. It was developed by a man who was an alcoholic, and he went to AA again and again, and he heard all about this higher power they kept talking about, but no one was comfortable to say who it was, as if the idea that just you're believing in a higher power was going to give you access to the higher power. And he said, no, we need Jesus in the middle of this thing. So in that sense, it is similar to AA. But 12 steps and their biblical comparisons. Step one, this is those who are in the program would be speaking this. We admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. So you know what they say, admitting the problem is the first step? It really is. And then the scripture that backs that, Romans 7, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. That was step one. Step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So for once, instead of saying, if I just try harder, I can do better, saying, no, I think the key to success and victory here comes from outside myself. And so it says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. In other words, God says, I want good out of your life, but I never expected you to be able to do it all by yourself. Step three, we made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. We hand it over and say, God, I don't know what you can do with this mess, but whatever you can, we want it because we can't do it ourselves. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we at some point say, Lord, I give it to you. I'm going to lay down on that smoking hot altar. I know it's not going to be comfortable, but I know it's what it will take. Step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is where it starts to get kind of like an exploratory surgery. I don't know if any of you have had the pleasure of exploratory surgery where somebody comes and cuts you open and they're not even sure what they're going to do yet. We made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and then let us return to the Lord. That's from Lamentations 3. Step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So yeah, this is the bad part where once you've done the exploratory surgery, somebody says, indeed, it is an invasive cancer. And it's something that you won't just recover from on your own. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Did you notice the each other's in this? This is starting to transition from just, it's all about me, I got a problem. I think this is my newest form of self-help. I'm going to Celebrate Recovery to fix myself. It's not self-help. This is an each other. This is a community venture. And we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of our character. We came to a point where we said, you know what, whatever it's going to cost me, Lord, I'm going to let you do it. In order to hand it totally over to God, we're taking a risk because God might have a different plan for our life than what we do. But we're ready to entirely handle it over. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. We humbly ask him to remove all our shortcomings. So we said, God, take whatever you want, leave whatever you want. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. As a Lutheran boy, we said these words every single Sunday. I had them memorized since I was a little kid, but I always focused on the, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins. And I like that part. Get rid of the guilt that I feel. Good, okay, God forgave me, now I can just go back to the way it was. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, God says, not only will I take away your bad, I'm going to change the course of the future. You're not going to keep repeating those patterns of destruction. Step eight says, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. This one hurts because, again, it's not just about us. And Luke 6:31 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. We're not only getting right with God, we're getting right with the people that our sin hurt. Step nine, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except that when to do so would injure them or others. Sad to say, but unfortunately, our sinful, selfish choices are so destructive that to even put ourselves back in that person's life might create more harm than it will good. That's sad. Sad when it gets to that point. Sometimes you have to just say, God, would you fix them yourself? I can't get back into that mess. But wherever possible, we go try and make it right. And Jesus was very clear on that. when he said this, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar." He's saying, don't give it yet. Take your offering, put it right here. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. God's saying, I don't even want your offering until you're building the kingdom through reconciliation with people. That's really what the kingdom is primarily about. Step 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. This is the art of heading it off. You see it coming, you see that pattern starting to emerge again. This is one of the best proofs I have that I really am a Christian. There are times when I go, wow, I wish I was a lot further along than I am right now. But where it really shines is in my marriage. I say some really pig-headed, ignorant things to my wife sometimes. I say things just to try and draw her into an argument. And one of the best signs I have that God is actually doing something in my life is the increased rate of response time. I still say the silly things sometimes, but it's getting shorter and shorter to where there's this almost like God's doing this on me, and I'm like, okay, I can't say that anymore, and I have to go and make it right with her. It used to take weeks, and then it took days, and we're getting the time shorter and shorter by God's grace. So we learn to admit our fault. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and power to carry that out. So we're recognizing this is more than just a change of behavior. It's a change of mindset. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're recognizing that God's Holy Spirit actually has to change something in us spiritually in order for us not to just keep going down the same road over and over again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So this is bringing the word of Christ into your life. Step 12, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And frankly, I would say the fact that Celebrate Recovery only launched in 1991, about 7,000 miles south of here, and is now in how many countries, did they say? 57 countries or something? Makes me think that this program has mastered the art of self-replicating. In other words, when you experience real freedom, when you finally put your chains down, it feels so good that in your mind you say, I am not content to be the only one who knows this secret. I have to share this with anybody I care about. And so Celebrate Recovery, where it takes good root in a community, tends to have pretty good endurance. I know down in Red Deer, that's where we've had some folks come up from Red Deer, right? And in the Crossroads Church, that's a big church. And they have reached out to, I'm sure, hundreds for sure, hey? Yeah, and that's what we want our freedom to do, not only to set us free, but to set others free. And Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. This is the Bible's little reminder that yes, we do have an obligation to hold each other accountable. Just don't get too self-righteous about it. If I say that I have victory over something, I can say that with some confidence, but I can't say it with pride, because as soon as I go, I'm way ahead of you in this regard, that seems to be the area in my life that Satan starts to attack and say, let me ruin your testimony by making you fall in that area. So yes, be bold, boast in the Lord, don't boast on your own. I think Celebrate Recovery is a good title, because it assumes that we can't truly and permanently overcome our hurts, habits, and hang-ups apart from Jesus. We are celebrating something that is already true. It's not saying fight for recovery. It's saying celebrate it. Proclaim on your life what is already true because of what Jesus did. And it also assumes that Jesus has already broken the chains for every born-again believer. But we need to choose to stop carrying our chains. Will we actually put the chains down. When we celebrate recovery, it means we choose to drop the chains and actually enjoy being free from our sin instead of just being loved in our sin. And this is far less convenient, I find. Like, I go back to that passage I talked about that I said every Sunday in the Lutheran church. I like the idea of being forgiven so I don't have to feel bad about the past, because I don't want my guilt to accumulate. I only want about a week of it at a time, right? That way I can go back every Sunday and keep being sorry for the same things I did before. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying that we have been set free from our sin, not just loved in our sin. Does God love you while you are still a wretch? Absolutely. That's why he came in the first place. You were a wretch when he decided to save you. However, he says you can be free. You don't have to keep living in the same patterns of destruction that you have in the past. I think of it in terms of gardening. The gardener has very little to do with making good things grow, if you really think about it. I think sometimes we think about being a good spiritual person as something we just really need to man up to or woman up to. But it's not. That the real strain, the real effort of gardening is not trying to force the things to grow by pulling on them or stretching them or something. It's really about cutting the bad things out. It's the weeding. That's the part God says you can do. I'll take care of the growth. You just get the junk out of the way. CR is really about letting God deal with your weeds so that he can grow good things in your life. And that's why the more I thought about this, I was thinking Celebrate Recovery, this is a great little program to keep in the corner of the church for anybody who's really messed up. And I started to think more and more, no, this really is the heart of holiness. This is what we should all be aspiring to. Now, whether you go come on Mondays and actually attend Celebrate Recovery, come for the support. But even if you're not coming to Celebrate Recovery, I hope we're all kind of doing this in our own way. That we are constantly surrendering the bad in our life and asking God to bring out the good. And what's the point of this message? Why have I taken 20 minutes to actually highlight it when we've been talking about it for several weeks and months already? I want you to know that you have my full approval to hit the pause button from another ministry or a study that you are involved in, if it will set you free to participate and celebrate recovery. And I realize churches can get into that habit of just dumping more and more stuff on you, where you feel guilty for all the things you could be doing. No, you know what? You only have so much time, and I never want to be the one who took you away from your unsaved neighbors or your unsaved family. We got life outside the church. I get that. You have limited time you can give to ministry and programs and so forth. But I will say, if as I asked that question right off the hop, what holds you back? If you had an answer, and that answer has been the same for multiple years already, could I ask you to consider taking a break from the Bible study that you're in or the ministry that you're serving in, if that will allow you to do Celebrate Recovery? And that is Mondays, what time? 6:30 every Monday. So we'll get the ball rolling. Think about Mondays at 6:30. If that time slot's free, think about it. If it's not, think about it anyway. Maybe you need to move something else out of the way. Surrendering this thing to God now will more than compensate for the loss of a year in another ministry. This is an investment in the future. It's a long-term plan. Something I'd like us all to consider. So I hope I made clear that this isn't just for messed up people living on the streets that you meet. Yeah, bring them too. Because somewhere in this, we hope that they will come to grasp the good news that Jesus loves them where they're at, but refuses to leave them that way. But ultimately, it is for Christians. It only truly and permanently works for born-again Christians like you and me. So think about that. I thought we would, kind of in the spirit of Celebrate Recovery, conclude my message time with the Serenity Prayer. Some of you are familiar with the prayer for serenity, but a lot of us have it on a plaque just as the first two or three lines. There's more to it, and it's a really great little prayer. So Could I encourage us to actually stand, and let's go through the prayer for serenity, and this will close my message for today. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.